Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this evening's meeting. I'd like to let you know that the board met in executive session tonight at 6 o'clock to discuss land legal and personnel matters. Please join me now in the Pledge of Allegiance. So will you please do the roll call, Stephen?
Member Mark Moyer?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Rick Zamuda?
Here.
Chairwoman Susan Quirk?
Here. Just as a reminder, all public sessions of the Township of Derry Board of Supervisors are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes, and speakers are asked to limit their comments to 3 minutes or less. For those of you who weren't here 2 weeks ago, we've got this new handy device that Brian and our IT department built. It is meant to help you self-regulate so that as you get close to 3 minutes, you can wrap up in a graceful way and hopefully get your points across. So there's no buzzers or anything. It's just to kind of keep you reminding yourself of where you are in the 3 minutes. When you start to talk, it'll turn green. When you get to 1 minute left, it'll turn yellow. And then as you get close to the 3 minutes, it'll turn red. And then hopefully you can wrap up and make your comments with your time. So with that being said, if there's anybody who would like to make some comments this evening, please just approach the podium, give us your name, and let us know your address, and we'd be happy to hear what you have to say this evening.
Good evening, Wayne Rivers, 815 Cypress Court. I don't know if I should address this to you, Susan, or John, or Chris. You're going to go through a motion tonight for a new public decorum for our meetings here. I got a question, unless I missed it in that document. Last meeting, there was a gentleman that got up here and spoke on behalf of the benefits of a pool. And he has no business with the township. He's not a resident. So that got me thinking, who is entitled to come up here to the podium and speak besides residents and people that have business with the township?
I think anybody.
You don't have to show your Derry Township resident card to come. any citizen is welcome to come and talk.
Okay. So if anybody's allowed to get up here and talk, then people that have special interests can bring anybody in here they can to lobby on behalf of whatever cause they may have. So why do we have to give our address when I get up here then?
It's just for the record. That's
okay.
Just in the policy.
All right. So anybody can get up here. All right. Thank you. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Sorry, Trace, I thought you were getting up to speak. Anybody else? Okay. Good evening.
Dennis Trout, 2010 Locust Lane. I sent earlier this afternoon a copy of what I would consider minimal requirements when they last week agreed by this board to consider or have developed a option for a competitive pool 50 meter indoor. And there's various and sundry parameters that should be looked at included in that scope. And rather than go through all those, you have that list. If you would like me to present them now, I would be glad to. But the bottom line is past tense. There's been a lot of publicity that's been given to the public that is incomplete or misleading. And I think it's imperative that this board, directing its contractors in the development of a scope of work and deliverables to address the full range of impacts, including the cost of the police department to handle special events such as competitive swimming events, which should be taken into account because this falls down on the township's budget, and these not just the operation, the maintenance, the deficits that accrue, the increased maintenance costs, changes in the usage of the facilities, the numbers of people that would be expected to come to these events, and what, if any, additional revenue is gained by the township through the taxes that go to the state and the Fed before anything comes back to the township. After all that's subtracted, is there actually any benefit? Some people have made public comments that it's actually a drain, not a source of additional revenue, and that's been misleading in the public comments, or I should say, the presentations that have been made to the public carrying the township locally. And I'm requesting that for the future, we give the full details such that you can see both the pluses and the minuses and be fully aware of what the costs are going to be so we don't run into the case where we did last time of a 30% cost above what was budgeted. Thank you much.
I'm Teresa Peschel and I live at 48 Half Street. And I want to comment on the rules of decorum. I hadn't planned on saying anything because I didn't know you were doing that this evening. Whatever changes you make with the rules of decorum, I think you should continue to ask people's addresses, because if anybody is allowed to speak, then if you don't have the addresses, you don't know who lives in the township and who doesn't. And then when you see people who do not have who have addresses that are not part of the township, you may want to find out why they're asking, because they have a vested interest, because they work in the township, they have family members in the township, or because they were bussed in from out of town to say whatever someone wanted them to say. So please do continue asking for the addresses. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Sorry, like, just to update, any further discussions, meetings, including who's partnering and who's meeting with the entertainment tax. I think we'll get to the point now where this becomes an issue. We're talking about expenses, increasing taxing. I think the community is going to benefit from some of the things that are happening. So I think we as a community, as the taxpayers, should get some type of tax relief. So could you update me on the last meeting, or the outcome, and who is participating at this time, at this point? Thank you.
Anyone else? We will have another opportunity at the end of the meeting if somebody would like to share.
My name is Bob Welsh. I live on Hilltop Road, and first of all, I'd like to say that as a kid, and even as an older kid, I always thought Hershey was neat. I just thought it was flat out neat. And when I was a kid, we used to play sports, and my wife and I each went to Steele High, and so it was a big deal to come to play sports at Hershey, because I don't really remember if we cared about the outcome of the games other than we could go to the community center and swim afterwards. That was a big deal. So I've always thought that Hershey was just flat out neat. Now, how I ended up moving here, it was a guy who was in my unit who built a house in Glen Acres. And I figured, well, he was at any higher rank than I was. He was a smarter novice, so we built a house in Stafford Heights, and then we continued to live here. Now, where I stand on the whole pool thing, and I don't feel that that's the elephant in the room, okay? If someone airlifted the huge proposed pool and dropped it there, And if it were free, I would be against it, okay? And the reason I'm saying that is because the traffic that it would generate is phenomenal. It would just generate so much traffic whenever there were competitive events. I think most people in the township would prefer if you could replicate the existing plaza as it is, not go crazy and something of a large scope. Now, I said about a large pool. I don't know how many people here have ever been to Spooky Nook, which is that sports complex. If you get down 283 and get out there at Salonga, if you ever go there on a weekend, it's like a whole population of a third world country that is there. That's what's going to happen if you put that large scope pool right there off Cocoa Avenue. That's what's going to occur. So I feel that the elephant in the room as we speak is traffic. The last meeting we were here, Luke Pilati got up and said, "Hey man, I was on a Saturday morning, I couldn't get across my street for 3 hours." Okay, that's not going to get any better, and that's just talking about this stuff with the park. We're not even talking about Chocolatown, USA. So I think the traffic is the biggest deal that should be addressed as we speak. Thank you.
Anyone else this evening? All right, very well. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the adoption of minutes. And we tonight are reviewing the June 11th Board of Supervisors meeting minutes, the June 25th, 6 p.m. public hearing minutes, the June 25th, 6:30 public hearing minutes, and the June 25th Board of Supervisors meeting minutes. I'm going to ask the board members if they have any changes to any of them. If there aren't any changes to any of them, then I think perhaps we could make a motion to adopt. If you have any changes to any of those minutes, then I'll make the motion that we adopt all of those meeting minutes as is. Do I have a second? Seconded by Mr. Zumuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries. Now we have some positive things to share, and that is performance awards for some of our longstanding exceptional employees. And as we call your name, if you could come up to the front, and if that person's manager, I don't know if you'd prefer to make the comments from the microphone at the podium or at your seat, or just come up and use your outdoor voice so everyone can hear. And we've got some certificates, including Dave Sassman from Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, Adrian Eckenrode from Public Works, Steve Ortenzio, who I know that he was a tonight from Hershey Public Library, Anthony Clements from the Police Department, and Brandon Bathurst from Parks and Rec. Congratulations to all of you. And let's start out with Dave and making the comments, I guess, with the chief. So.
Am I supposed to wait for a green light?
No.
I got green light? Okay, then we're going to be about 10 minutes. Madam Chairwoman and the Board of Supervisors, we, the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, appreciate you letting us participate in this annual event, and I am honored to be here with our Volunteer Employee of the Year, is Dave Sassman. Our membership nominates and votes on the firefighter. We call it the Firefighter of the Year on an annual basis. This year we had three or four candidates and came down to a vote, and Dave won the award. And he started out very young, as most people in the emergency services, police, fire, and ambulance, wanting to be a firefighter. Started in the Boy Scout Explorer Post in Berks County. He was a volunteer in the city of Reading, and he also volunteered at 3 EMS corps, Exeter, Governor Mifflin, and Southern Berks. He was a volunteer at the Shillington Fire Company, a volunteer and also an assistant chief at the Fritzdown Fire Company during his years. Actually, he made it to obtaining a job in Montgomery County, Maryland as a career firefighter, but there was a young lady that caught his eye and changed his course of action. And for a lot of good reasons. He lived in Boston. He took the Boston City Fire Department test. He scored 99 out of 100 and was on the list to be hired by the city of Boston. But there were some layoffs in neighboring areas, and those firefighters got taken over the candidates that took the test to move into the Boston Fire Department. So he and his wife had three children. In 1991, to our benefit and also the township residents' benefits and the citizens, the people that visit the township, he moved back to Hershey to be close to his family. He is an adjunct facility faculty member of the HAC, Harrisburg Area Community College, Reading Hospital, Lancaster Public Safety Center, has a paramedic program, teacher, and testing facilitator. He has not ridden on a fire department vehicle other than to take photographs and to tell the township where Santa Claus is on a moment basis on our annual Santa Claus run. Took a different turn and got into photography in the fire department. Through that, he strongly started to believe in being a public information officer and getting the word out about what the fire department does, what we do for the community, and what we strive to keep on doing. One of the very special things about Dave Sassman as our public information officer is that the police, fire, and ambulance people, we make the front page, we make the headlines on the news when people are having a bad day. And I'm one of the old timers in the fire service. I don't do a lot of social media, I don't do Facebook, but when I look at some of the fire department's Facebooks, there's a lot of pictures that I have, stories that I probably wouldn't put on. As I said, when somebody's having a bad day, the last thing we need to do is promote that last day. This gentleman standing before you takes that personally, and he makes sure that he keeps the people that have had that bad day in mind. Professionalism, 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 and compassion to the people that have had that bad day. And it just recently happened when we had the fatal fire on Chocolate Avenue. If you look at our Facebook, we have the right, and we have the people want to know what we do, and they want to know the story, and we have the right to tell it. But the way he tells it protects the people that are involved that have had a very, very bad day. And our department is very, very proud to have him as our public information officer. He does our social media. We have 12,800 visitors or followers on our Facebook, and it's because of, it really boils down to his professionalism. He keeps people up to date, not only what we're doing, what the Derry Township Police are doing, always safety, 4th of July, holiday safety, smoke detectors, you name it, he's pumping it out there for the public to know. So I am honored to present our firefighter, our volunteer employee of the year, Dave Sassman. Thank you very much.
Paper-based records and files to digital formats, reducing our paper use. Also, Adrian gives tours to the recycling center, of the recycling center to local preschools and scout troops. That's it.
Thank you, Bob.
Among the staff was unanimous. In 2018, we offered 1,329 programs and welcomed over 250,000 visitors. The impact of these numbers can be seen in the wear and tear of the building, but you'd never know it from Steve and the way he acts with us, the staff and customers. He regularly comes in early, stays late, and pops in over weekends to make sure the building is ready for our daily activities. Every day we count ourselves lucky that we have someone like Steve looking out for us, and he is very deserving of this recognition, so thank you very much.
The next person we're recognizing is Officer Tony Clements.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this year's Employee Performance Award recipient for the Police Department is Sergeant Anthony Clements. Tony's nomination was made by his peer first-line supervisors and then voted upon by all the employees at DTPD. Sergeant Clements is a 20-year member of our department. He is currently the sergeant in charge of the Operations Support Platoon, which encompasses community policing, traffic safety, canine unit, school resource officer, and our Department of Firearms and Defensive Tactics training. Tony is also one of our canine handlers, is currently working with his third canine partner, Aries. His two partners before that were Zorro and Chico, hoping to introduce Aries to the board at the next meeting, so you'll get to meet him. He kind of steals the show, so we want to keep him. Not only is Sergeant Clements highly involved in the training of our officers, he also is an excellent instructor and assists various civic groups, organizations, businesses, and religious groups with safety training for their places of business and worship. Tony is always willing to train and help others within the department, as well as those from outside in the community. Having 20 years on, it's quite an accomplishment. He always has been and still is a hard worker, which after 20 years is sometimes hard to do, but he definitely and genuinely loves his job in law enforcement and shows. So congratulations to Tony.
Bathurst as the Department of Parks and Recreation's Employee Performance Award winner for this year. Brandon's been with the department since July of 2014 as a facility operator. During his time with the township, he's impressed both his peers and his supervisors with his attention to detail and his ability to quickly learn and retain the large amount of information that's required to operate a public recreational facility. In addition, as part of his job requirements, Brandon is also required to successfully maintain state-mandated Pennsylvania pool operator certifications in order to maintain and operate our public bathing facilities. Brandon requires little direction and has set a high bar in terms of employee performance. He's extremely dependable and always willing to lend a helping hand above and beyond his normal job duties. Brandon is well-deserving of this Employee Performance Award, and is not only a tremendous asset to the Department of Parks and Recreation, but a tremendous asset to the township as a whole. So congratulations.
If all four of the honorees could come up just for a picture, you don't have to go anywhere. That way we'll have just you in the photo, which is way more important than all of us.
Another round of applause. Very, very well deserved. Thank you all for your service. We also have some anniversaries to recognize, and we'll just read those off so you can recognize the number of years that some of our employees have spent with the township, and we'll just give them a round of applause at the end. Our five-year employees, Charmaine Gould from the Police Department and Joshua Kleinfelter from Public Works. 10 years, Thomas Smith, Parks and Recreation, Zachary Jackson, Parks and Rec, Ashley Heinzel, Police Department, and Rebecca Swigert from Parks and Recreation. 15 years, Karen Tropp, Administration, Kevin Smith, Public Works. 20 years, Robert Doss, Police Department, Thomas Pavone, Police Department, Mary Ellen Fry, Parks and Recreation. And we need a drum roll for the 25-year people. Stephen Pingle, Public Works, from Parks and Recreation, Stephen Beard from the Police Department, and Timothy Keister from the Police Department. Let's give them a round of applause. All right, now moving on to the next item on our agenda, items A1 through 6, consideration of a decision for conditional use application number 2019-02, filed by Hershey Hatchett Inc. regarding a portion of the property located at 515 Rear West Chocolate Avenue. Mr. Emery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As discussed at the public hearing on June 25th, the applicant of this conditional use request, Hershey Hatchett Incorporated, proposes to operate a recreational facility under the name of Stumpy's Hatchett House in a portion of the former transfer station located at 515 Rear West Chocolate Avenue. The applicant has proposed under this conditional use that their use is similar to an exercise and fitness center, which is a permitted use. During the course of the hearing, the board requested some additional information related to insurance and verification of safety records and wanted to consider the bring-your-own-bottle inclusion in the operation of the venue. That information had been provided, and the decision now includes required training for employees in the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board's responsible alcohol management program, or RAMP, as well as limits on the amount of alcohol a patron can bring to the venue. In addition to the conditions that are listed in the decision, I had a conversation with John Yost, I believe, Friday. And he had suggested including as a condition that he review their actual insurance policy upon operation. I don't believe that they have an issue with that. I did speak with the applicants today. Neither of the applicants could be here this evening, although Ray is here. I am recommending the decision for the conditional use application 2019-02 be adopted.
Does anyone have any questions for Chuck? I appreciate they did everything you asked them to since the public hearing.
Well, I actually do have a question. Could you go over the alcohol limits to...
Sure. As written in the decision, the facility will allow patrons to bring their own alcohol. However, the quantity of alcohol per person shall be limited to a maximum of 48 ounces of beer, which is equal to 4 regular 12-ounce cans or 3 pounders. Or a maximum of 750 milliliters of wine, which again is a standard bottle of wine.
I know I mentioned an email back to you about talking about particular types of containers too.
Well, that's why
you work with those.
That's why I put it into ounces and milliliters to address all boxes and bags and barrels.
Okay, and John, you feel comfortable with the liability?
We haven't seen anything on the insurance yet.
This will be, I assume, subject to review of counsel and the insurance policy.
That's correct.
Yeah,
okay.
I thought we did. $3 million
Yeah, but it wasn't for this. This wasn't for this company.
It was a sample of what they carry corporately and what they would be carrying. Yeah, they can't get insurance because they're not an operation.
Yeah.
It was a commitment, I guess, to what they would be carrying.
Does anyone else have any questions? Do I have a motion that the decision for conditional use application number 2019-02 is hereby adopted pending council's review of the liability insurance?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. Seconded by Mr. DeMuto. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, consideration of a decision for conditional use application number 2019-03 is filed by Keystone Solar 401k Trust regarding 34 Half Street.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This hearing was the public hearing for this was also held in the same evening as Hershey Hatchets, June 25th. The applicant, Keystone Solo 401k Trust, proposes to operate a specialty home, which is also known as a short-term rental, on property they own in 34 Half Street in Hershey. The property is located in the Hershey Mixed Use and Downtown Core Zoning Districts. In this case, this property meets all of the conditional use requirements necessary to be granted. And in the written decision that's before you this evening, beyond the normal things, there were some inclusions for any additions or outdoor areas to be 25 feet from adjacent dwelling units, and also that if noise becomes a problem, that there is a clause in there to bring in a noise detection device that the owner would be aware of any pending problems. With that, I'm recommending approval of this conditional use application.
Comments or questions? I kind of applaud them for going about this the right way, because there are probably many, many instances where they've not gone through the proper channel. They do find it a little unusual that they're getting approval for something they're not even sure they're going to do, but they have checked all the boxes, and I don't have any concerns.
The only comment I have, and it is just a comment, is and it's essentially what I said the last time, I have a concern about the upkeep of the property itself, because when I was there last time, it did not reflect good home ownership, so to speak. So I just want that comment to be on record.
Anyone have any questions or comments? If not, do I have a motion that the decision for conditional use application number 2019-03 is hereby adopted?
So moved.
This by Mr. Engel. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
1A. Item number C1 through 7, consideration of resolution number 1585 to establish rules of decorum for the Township of Darien. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe back in December, several board members had approached me about trying to develop rules of decorum for public meetings. And in that process, I went out and looked at several different versions of rules of decorum that different municipalities across the state have published. And what's before you this evening is sort of a culmination of a lot of those different policies. And certainly it's open for interpretation and discussion this evening. Certainly the board members would like it changed or any other additional considerations for us to take forward. Hopefully we can entertain that tonight.
I think it's definitely something that we've been talking about for the last couple of months, and in my mind it's not in reaction to any incident or any person or anything that happened. It's just a way to document what's expected of the public, of the board, of the staff, in hopes of just continuing to maintain a really respectful environment, which is what we want here at our meeting. So I think if you were to look through it, it's kind of just common sense as human beings, how we treat each other and kind of what the expectations are of each other. I do have some changes that I would like to make to it, whether we make that tonight or we decide based on conversation if we want to table it, revise it, and then vote on it another night. They're minor changes, but there are some things that I would like to change.
Yeah, the I guess the I think that most people, I think people conduct themselves very well in our meetings. So I personally don't see the need for this, but I'm certainly not going to oppose it if folks want to memorialize how we should conduct ourselves. The only concern, the biggest concern I had with it was that at one point it goes into it's for decorum for public meetings, but it kind of goes into protocol in terms of how we conduct ourselves as board members and sort of almost policy in terms of
finding substitutes for
like it goes to administration, like yeah. If something comes in from a resident, if we're going to get into
how the board's supposed to and memorialize and how we conduct ourselves, which I don't think is a bad idea. I think we should do it the whole way rather than just throw a couple pieces of that into this, which is kind of what seems to be the case. So I don't almost advocate if the board does want to move forward the decorum policy that we pull those components out of it and maybe just stick to decorum.
I agree. That actually makes sense. I mean, I'm not against anything in here, but it does sort of scratch the surface of many more operational things that even could be memorialized separately or maybe are just standard operating procedures that have already been documented within the
section. Right.
You could have that as a personal camera.
I think that's a great point, Justin. I do have some concerns about even the public meeting aspect of this, and that is I truly appreciate this. I couldn't agree with you more in terms of civility and how we conduct ourselves, both board supervisors towards the public at large and how the public at large addresses the board of supervisors. My concern about this attempt is almost like attempting to legislate morality. It's not exactly a comparison, but I think when there's public comment, I think public comment is important because it really gives the opportunity for the public to speak truth to power. And I really don't want to chill that ability. And a lot of times the devil lies in the details, particularly with respect to enforcement. And that is a matter of perspective, where one person feeling passionate about a subject and addressing the board may not be articulate or may use verbiage that may offend some individuals of this board, but objectively may not be offensive to other members of the board. And I think the chair has the ability to rule somebody out of order without such a written policy. And I think we all can agree that there are clear lines that are drawn, such as offensive language, swearing, derogatory, demeaning comments made at individuals or even the board as a whole. But I think that line is a difficult line to draw between one person feeling passionate about a subject and speaking truth to power and someone's interpretation of that as possibly being a violation of this policy. So I'm not sure that attempting to memorialize in writing a lot of these behavioral aspects is possible, and I, for one, would be in favor of simply having the chair have the ability to rule someone out of order in the event that somebody clearly crosses the line, but I'm just really afraid of the chilling effect.
I don't think that's the intention, certainly not the intention. It's supposed to just foster a more kind environment and to make sure that we're all being mindful of each other.
Right.
So to what degree we need to memorialize that, I think we can decide, but it's meant to encourage conversation and dialogue, not to
civil
conversation.
Yes, and I don't want to insinuate that it was an attempt to chill anybody else. I'm afraid that might be the effect that has.
Right, but there's a line here that I definitely had said I wanted to take out before that I would like to take out of the before because I don't want to have that impact on people. I mean, it's so that everybody here feels comfortable standing up and sharing their thoughts without worry that someone in the audience is going to chuckle or heckle in some way, or that there's respect both among those in the audience and those up here and those sitting in the staff seats, that everyone's free and comfortable to talk here, which we hope is the case regardless of whether we memorialize this or not. But I don't think there's any harm in being comfortable with the language in it. Anything else you want to add, or?
I think we should massage this a little bit more.
You're right doing that?
Yes. Table? Yes.
Okay. All right.
I think we're...
I don't have the votes for it, apparently.
No. I'm in, except for my changes.
Right.
So let's take some time between now and maybe the next meeting, just to kind of huddle and figure out what really belongs in here and what maybe can come out. And Chris, I know you pulled a lot together from other examples, but maybe we can kind of sit as a group or two, if anyway, and just talk about what we can do to make this work better.
Keep in mind, these aren't pulled out of the air. These issues aren't pulled. These are.
Oh no, I understand that.
Pulled from a number of townships and
areas that
had already incorporated these.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a couple of math layers, and there's just
I saw that too.
There's just some things, and a couple lines that I don't know that they make sense, and I do agree with Justin, maybe there are a couple things that are more administrative that we should extract out. So I'll make the motion that we table this for this evening, and maybe a few of us can get together with Chris and kind of work through the next iteration, and then we'll bring it back when it's cleaned up a little bit. Anyone like to second that?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Moore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that motion is officially tabled for tonight. Next item on the agenda, consideration of resolution number 1586, authorizing the adoption of the Dauphin County Emergency Operations Plan for use as the Township of Barry Emergency Operations Plan.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to walk this down the aisle for the race tonight. So every 2 years, or if there are some changes to the county's disaster emergency management plan, the township is required to adopt a plan as well. The township originally adopted the Dauphin County Emergency Operations Plan November 25th, 2008 as a township plan. Statute requires that the emergency operations plan be reviewed and readopted every 2 years or whenever there is a major revision to that plan, or whenever there is significant change to the composition of the Township Board of Supervisors. Dauphin County Commissioners adopted and reissued minor revisions to their Emergency Operations Plan in January of this year, thereby creating a need for a readoption by Derry Township.
Anyone have any questions for Chief? No? Hearing none, I'll make the motion to consider adopting the resolution as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you, Chief. Next item on the agenda, E1 through 5, and that's the reduction of the performance security provided for the required site improvements represented by the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Hershey Park 2020 attraction, plot number 1298. Stramer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Currently, we're holding $7,033,009 for improvements as part of the new Hershey Park expansion. HRD has performed an inspection and provided a written recommendation that $3,462,012 is eligible for relief. If approved by the board, the new balance of the security would be $3,570,997. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release as noted.
I'll make the motion to approve as stated by Mr. Emmerich.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Chuck, back to you. The release of the maintenance security provided for the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Curry Mill, plat number 1239.
This dates back to the 2013 plan for Curry Mill. The developer recently finished correcting all deficiencies noted in their last request. HRG has, which has resulted in inspection by HRG and their recommendation that the maintenance security is now eligible for full release. Normally, we would be carrying an 18-month maintenance security, but since the project has been completed so long, for the public improvements, since the project's been completed so long ago, it's not necessary to do that in this case. So I am recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of the maintenance security in the amount of $1,955.25 as provided by cash for plat 1239.
Make the motion to approve as stated.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, second by Mr. Zimmerman. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries.
Next item on the agenda, release of the remaining balance of the performance security provided for the preliminary final development plan for McDonald's, plat number 1190.
This is even an older plan dating back to 2010, just before Tropical Storm Lee. McDonald's had some issues with their rain garden, which were finally resolved. So HRG has completed their inspection. Here again, we wouldn't be carrying any maintenance security. We are I'm recommending the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of the remaining balance, which is $13,389.64 of the performance security provided for Flight 1190. Also recommending that the maintenance security not be required.
Questions? I'll make a motion to approve as stated by Mr. Emmerich. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda is H1, request to conduct the 2019 event and day 5 to be raised on Saturday, August 24th, 2019, starting at 9 a.m. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A request was received from Al Fricke to hold the 28th annual Bennett 10-day 5K run on Saturday, August 24th, 2019, starting at 9 a.m. The event starts and ends at the Hershey High School along Homestead Road. It's all on Township Roadway or on private roadway within the Mount Hershey campus along the north side of 322. The route is the same as last year and some years before that. It's easily managed with the assistance from Mount Hershey Security, who graciously manned some of the traffic posts within the run. Most posts are manned by on-duty police officers, community service officers, special fire police, and Mount Hershey School Security. However, we do incur some overtime costs, and the event organizer is aware of the township's reimbursement policy and has indicated their understanding and acceptance of the policy.
This is the 28th here.
Wow. Yep.
Thanks, Chief. Any questions for Chief Warner about this event? If not, I'll make the motion to approve as stated by Chief Warner. Do I have a second? Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, I-135, request for a civic banner to be located in the grass area adjacent to the Hershey Company Technical Center building along Route 422, as well as at the east entrance of the 19th East Chocolate Avenue office building. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what I've projected on the screen is last year's banner. Next year's banner, this year's banner will be amended to say 16th annual, and also carry the proper date of October 5th, 2019. The locations for the banner are in the same locations as were permitted last year. As the board knows, banners for these types of events need approved by the board. I'm recommending granting authorization for this civic banner for the 2019 race.
Questions for Chuck?
It's just those two areas, right?
Just those two. Pictures.
I'll make the motion to approve as stated. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries. Next, we'll move to board correspondence. I will just mention briefly that we, Mr. Weir and I, and Mr. Mandia, Mr. Christman, and Mr. Clark have met with a local resident by the name of Ray Barnland, who's really interested in trying to help de-weed some of our forest areas. So it's wonderful that a volunteer has stepped forward to help work with other volunteers and the township to help eradicate some of those pervasive weeds, and he enjoys doing this, which is even better. So we're excited to work with him moving forward, and Matt has offered to kind of be his go-to person because he knows a lot more about weeds and trees than I do. So so we're excited to work with him moving forward. Mark, anything?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Chief Warner,
The only thing I have, and I kind of gave a precursor to it during the performance awards, is that next meeting I plan to do our department awards and accommodations, and also introduce our his canine. So just to give you a little forewarning on that.
That's good. We'll need a dog to be some of the stresses.
There you go.
Can you bring a lot of them? Yeah, there we go.
covered ones.
Just a couple things. We had 76 calls for the month. We also are continuing in our training programs on Monday night. Last night we had UGI in and did gas lines and gas pipe emergencies. It was very informative, but great night. We'll also be having PP&L come in. They have a live wire trailer that'll follow up, I believe, in another week or two, that we have them coming in to do live wire training. So we continue on with that stuff. And thank you for the meeting.
Thank you for all your service.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one quick thing. I'm sure if you haven't noticed, you heard Bullfrog about it. The lines are down. We just have a little edge work to do, which shouldn't impact anything. And we'll be pulling the signs, the two message boards at each end, down tomorrow. So
yeah,
they're still up there, but it is a nice ride. So.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob, what's going on at Elm Avenue?
That's the electric project.
So they're starting already?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Is it ready to use the library?
Yes, I just want to give you an update. The summer day campers come over and do the summer reading program, and they do a little friendly competition about who's reading the most. So the second grade is currently in the lead with 55,800 minutes. And so I'll keep you updated for the rest of the summer to see who ends up winning. I think they're really far ahead.
You should be the winners at the end.
Yeah.
We'll do that. Chair Lindsay?
I have nothing. Thank you.
Mr. Randy?
Just two very quick things. I want to let the board know that in the next few weeks we're going to begin an audit of the Jonathan Eschenauer Bicycle and Pedestrian Trail in its entirety. Really just to look at every aspect of the trail in terms of signage, trail markings, crossings, any improvements that need to be made on the surface as well. So in the next few weeks, we're going to start that process. The Friends of Parks and Recreation do have some seed money that they've collected from the Trogue Spikes and Beers event that was donated to the Friends for the express purpose of bicycle and pedestrian trail improvements and development. So we'll be able to do some of the signage and maybe some of the markings with those seed funds, and then I hope to include some dollars in the 2020 budget for some of the more surface-related and more costly items on the trail. I just want to let you know that's on our radar, and we'll be jumping on that in the next few weeks. And secondly, just want to invite everyone to our second drive-in movie this Friday night at Shank Park, the old classic Honey, I Shrank the Kids. We're also having a family-friendly kickball competition before the movie, and that starts around 6:30, 7 o'clock. So if you want to swing by and pull a hamstring before the movie.
Yeah,
everything's
going to be in
season. It's supposed to be a great summer night Friday, so we encourage everyone to come out and join us.
That's great.
Thanks.
Mr. Brennan, anything?
Nothing additional, thank you.
Just a couple things. We have seen the construction fence go up in front of the Hershey Story, so we're anticipating so that construction will start on that right turn lane, westbound Chocolate Avenue onto Linden this week. Also, just to note that this Saturday at Market, we're celebrating the 5th year of Market on Chocolate, which is very exciting. We also have a need for volunteers this Saturday, so if anyone isn't doing anything in the morning or in the afternoon, we're always looking for more folks to help and get involved. It's a really great group out there. Also, Saturday night is Music on Chocolate. Two bands performing. We have food and beverages for purchase, and we're also looking for volunteers to help us clean up at 10 o'clock at night. So come help with that. There will be beer. That's
all.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Kristen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple of items for the board this evening. If you recall, at our last meeting, we talked a little bit about the SFA agreement as it relates to all of the options that were discussed on the community center project a couple of weeks ago. I think at our last meeting, I did talk about there would be an increase in the scope of services that would be related to any additional analysis related to that study. So I've received back the updated addendum for phase two. If you recall, phase two originally was approved at $18,000. That would increase now by $14,000 to $32,000 to cover the additional analysis of all of the options that they were discussed over the last two meetings. breaking that $14,000 down and $10,500 of it covers basically a pass-through to Councilman Hunziker for their expertise as it relates to pools, and $3,500 would stay as consulting fees with SFA. So that's one piece of it that I would ask the board to approve that this evening, so that we continue to move forward to get that analysis completed prior to you making any decision, final decision on the community center project. The second component to this is also an hourly agreement with SFA should the board require any additional consulting services for anything really as it relates to this project. So in that hourly service agreement is broken down $275 an hour for principals, $250 an hour for account executives and managers, $225 an hour for business and financial analysts, $200 an hour for market analysts and document specialists, and then $125 an hour for administrative support. Again, we would only utilize those, that hourly service schedule, you know, or anything additional that's above and beyond what's covered under the scope of the Phase 2 addendum.
Chris, if we authorized that hourly portion this evening, do we have to put any parameters around that, or at the time that we would execute that, if we decided to, could we then put parameters around it? Because obviously it's not carte blanche. I mean, you've got to, you know.
Right. At this point, I would say, you know, if the board has an idea, we can limit it to a number of hours, you know, get a number in mind.
Well, maybe it makes sense that the hourly rates are different. Maybe it makes sense to cap it at an amount of $3,000 or $5,000.
Right, like an amount not to exceed.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if we needed to, for whatever reason, up it,
beyond that,
we could discuss it.
It would come back to this board for approval.
Okay. Is that aspect of the hourly rate aspect of it necessary tonight, or can we just decide on the additional scope to encompass all five portions of it?
My only input on that would be, I don't think it's necessary, but over the next 2 weeks it could become, and where time is of the essence, we wouldn't want something not be able to talk to SFA or ask a question that has something to do with something not related to the
questioner's
scope. Yeah. But I don't think it would be critical, but it may just be
prudent.
Yeah.
I think so. And especially if we are comfortable coming up with a dollar amount to cap it to.
Not to exceed.
Like, not to exceed.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And then again revisit it if we needed to. So I'm not sure how much we'll need them on the hourly basis, but is there a number? Is 5,000 a comfortable number to cap it, or for this initial decision?
I think that's comfortable.
You're right with that? Yes, maybe.
I'm just thinking. is there a way to talk to SFA and see if they have an estimate of what it might take? Or
well, we don't know what they want to do.
I know.
I would feel comfortable that we may not even tap into it more than an hour or two. So I think it would only be a concern if it was, if it was to be much more than that.
If at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Or,
and you would keep us surprised anyway with the number of hours that any conversation about any part of this, or should I try to gather some?
So just to be clear, it's the phase two for $18,000 is already approved. So this is basically an expansion of phase two by $14,000.
Yes.
An engagement and another hourly arrangement with a not to exceed number of $5,000.
Yeah. So
that's a motion right there.
To address all five options.
Yeah. There's two separate issues.
Right. Well, I think we can vote on them together though.
Yeah.
So I think, as stated, are you comfortable with what Justin just said? That's exactly what I was going to say. So rather than repeat it, is that a motion? Are you comfortable
with
that? I will second that motion. Would anyone like to chime in? All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? And then that motion carries. Thank you, Mr. President. Anything else this evening?
I do have one additional item. I received this afternoon a request from FFP Effects Incorporated, VR, the pyrotechnic wing of the KISS show that's coming to Hershey on August 21st.
This is not Hershey Kisses.
Gene Simmons. So as part of their concert, I believe there's some pyrotechnics that are involved, and much like any other application that comes before this board related to fireworks, they are making that request. They have provided a certificate of insurance naming the township as additional insured. I'm also going to direct them to coordinating of their activities as necessary with the police department and the fire department as required. From our standpoint, they've provided everything that we've asked for from any other applicant that's come before the township for this permission.
When is that?
August 21st.
It is Wednesday, August 21st at 7:30 p.m., so you can still get tickets if you're interested.
We're really So we would again be authorizing them to conduct the pyrotechnics at their concert on August 21st.
Yes, that's correct. And there would be, in their note, they note that there would be kind of a demo or, you know, prep and test at about 4 p.m. that day.
I think that's what Mr. Moyer would like to attend.
How does HTNR fit into this in terms of insurance, indemnification, things like that?
I would imagine that they're also named an additional insured on that policy as well. But every application I've seen thus far, that's my intention, is just a certificate of insurance with us.
Right.
So it's no different than the gentleman on Shokes Road that had fireworks a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, in fact, it's the exact same amount of insurance, liability insurance, which is kind of interesting.
Is there a sort of time constraint on it, or is there... Did they need it by a certain time?
They were just looking to get it before the board as soon as possible. Just give you time to make a decision. Certainly, their show is August 21st, so there is a little bit of time between now and then if you choose to take it.
Because I'm sure their pyrotechnics is probably a little more expensive than some of your shows. So, I'm just wondering.
I think what you're asking is there a time limit as to...
No, in other words, because typically we would put something on the agenda.
Yeah.
That's being brought up, like the last item we addressed, it's because we need to move on that. From a procedural standpoint, it just seems like if it's not a time issue, then we should have it on the agenda.
I don't know if there's any more information we're going to need between now and the 23rd, but maybe you're right, just to have
maybe we do need some more information.
Okay.
I just have some questions about liability. So additional time might be...
If you don't think that's a problem...
If you don't think that's a
problem. Again, the show is August 21st.
Yeah.
So you have a meeting or two before then, so...
Yeah. I think it's great.
Well, what do we want them to look into?
Yeah, no.
Liability issue? as far as...
in the event that something happens, I just would like to talk to council about our exposure and sovereign immunity and things like that.
As far as property and bodily harm?
Yes.
So I'm fine with that, but we've not requested that for 4th of July fireworks.
I know, but these are a little expensive. Oh, well, for 4th of July.
No.
Yeah,
no, I guess. Assuming they're more expensive, but we didn't ask. Didn't ask for that. Like
Susan, they're confined.
No, I get that. I'm just saying, we've not. If we're going to start doing that, maybe we need to do that for all of them. Just for...
I don't like that. I mean, this is a concert venue with people in very close proximity. To the fireworks, more so than the 4th of July.
So, Chris, can you get hold of whatever the liability insurance is, and we'll just put it on the next agenda? Anything else to say?
Oh, sorry, I have nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we move on to approval of accounts payable of $211,223.08. And payroll of $365,693.10. I'll make a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that is approved. Now time for our last session of visitor and public comment. Again, same rules apply. If you'd like to step up to the podium, just give us your name and address, and we'll be happy to do your comments.
In the opening, the visitor's comments, I requested somebody would address the status of the Hershey Entertainment Tax. Each and every one of the boarders assigned some type of meeting, and when you gave the reports, there was no activity. Could somebody answer the question? Who is working on the committee? who's responsible, who are they meeting with, and what is the status of the discussion on the entertainment tax?
There is no committee, Mr. Gamble. I mean, there are, all of us are very interested in monitoring discussions, and there's a lot more to discuss than the entertainment or the amusement tax as it relates to Hershey Entertainment and Resorts. We're looking at the amusement tax as a whole, so there have been some conversations about that, but nothing new to report in terms of any meetings with HENR or anything that we can share at this point.
Well, it seems we've been discussing this. I've been asking a question for over 2 years now. And I think it might make some more sense to show the people of the concern and interest that you appoint two or three of the supervisors to initiate a task force to work on that and then break it out into the town amusement tax. We know a lot of people in the town are paying amusement tax, maybe should be paying it, but we need to know that somebody is actively working on it the same way you put up other committees to work on projects. I think it's time now we start identifying responsible people to actually address involving the school board, involving this committee, supervisors, as well as the Hershey Entertainment, because they're one of the big factors involved here. So I think it's long enough to say, well, we're just riding it through. Let's start putting accountability where accountability needs to be. So I'm recommending, again, that you take that into consideration, and at the next meeting, be able to report back what your status was going to be. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr.
Campbell. Good evening, Steve Bennett from 1231 East Derry Road. And I'm here to thank Matthew for taking action and addressing the issues related to the John Ash Town Trail. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And another topic, and the reason for my standing here at the podium, is stormwater runoff. As I think I stood here at the second meeting, it was about 6 weeks ago, and shared information about a walk I took from Palmdale. And I took another walk yesterday and today along the same route. I actually have some names to share with you. Carriage Park at 497 feet above sea level. Stony Brook, which is near Redbirds, at 482 feet above sea level. And Rockledge at 476 feet above sea level. Palmdale, the park in Palmdale, is at 437 feet. And as we all know, water runs downhill. When it does, run off the hill from Carriage Park, Stone Brook, and Rockledge, it creates work for our Parks and Recreation Department. I'm all for environmental issues that create work, but it's also damaging property. I'm not sure that this is the correct forum for me to be addressing stormwater runoff, but our neighbors are creating our problem. And I'm hoping that in this forum, somebody here can share this information with others who can take action and hopefully fix it. Thank you.
Steve Seidel, 450 West Ground Avenue, Hershey. Three quick things. Mr. Mandy, just compliments on getting something going with the audit. I assume there's some type of visual or physical audit. I would suggest to you that whoever's doing the audit, it's not like a strange request, but that they actually block it and actually cycle it, because I think the issues are going to be different. I'm thinking particularly like, you know, Palmdale. I know there's one section there, like when I biked it in the past, the turn or passageway is really dangerous and difficult. So walking the person driving is going to be different. So I hope that's part of the plan. Second item is I just wanted to comment to the supervisors. I wasn't here, I was able to be here when the zoning contract with the firm out in Pittsburgh was approved, but I just wanted to say that I think the meeting, I did get to the meeting though in June that was held. I thought that was an excellent session. I was glad to see so many of the residents there, and I thought there was some really good discussion. really looking forward to hearing more back from them about what plans they've come up with, what ideas they've come up with, as well as more opportunity for public input. So, well done. I know it's, you know, I know some things I've raised before are not quickly solved, but I'm glad to see at least some action happening to engage the public and move them forward. So thank you. Let's see. Sorry, I don't remember my third.
Steve, while you're thinking about that, maybe it would be helpful to get an update with that agreement, where what the next steps are.
I had done that the last meeting I had in front of me. I don't tonight.
Oh, you don't? Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's okay.
I will reach out directly to Steve.
I'll go listen to the minutes or look at the minutes.
I can
reach out. I wasn't going to make that
schedule.
But that gave me enough time to think you're third.
No, I didn't. I thought it was the two most important ones. Thank you.
Anybody else this evening? Seeing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, have a great evening, everybody.